Current Ritual Public Affairs Show on KDNK Radio. In today's episode, we are going to be jumping into the world of psychedelic therapy. Today, I have Jaylen Mayer. She's a certified holistic health coach, a psychedelic integration coach, a registered nurse, and a candidate for her psychiatric nurse practitioner license. She's received specialty training in psychedelic assisted therapy through the California Institute of Integral Studies and Ketamine Training Center, and she works with clients undergoing ketamine therapy for treatment of specific mental health conditions at the Institute for Psychedelic Therapy in Carbondale, Colorado. So she's here in the Roaring Fork Valley, and I have her on so we can have some expert opinions to figure out what is actually going on with psychedelics. So, Jaylen, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Kat. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. So we're going to dive right in, and I want to hear your opinion on why are psychedelics making a resurgence? Why is there a renaissance with working with psychedelics right now?
Sure. So there are a few reasons why that is going on. The first reason is that we are in the midst of a mental health crisis in our country. The rates of mental illness have absolutely increased to levels that additional interventions are needed. We have 20% of Americans that are experiencing mental illness, and that equates to 50 million Americans experiencing anxiety and depression. Every year since 2011, we have seen levels of suicidal ideation increase. In adolescence, depression and anxiety are now at levels never seen before. And every single day in America, 17 veterans commit suicide. These numbers are prior to the COVID pandemic, which increased everything due to the social isolation. You know, humans are social beings that thrive on connection and belonging. And so that just exponentially increased the need for additional interventions to deal with what we have on our hands.
Right. And studies have been coming out showing how, like, the SSRIs and the whole sort of concept of this chemical imbalance, it's kind of being debunked. So I guess we're back at the drawing board in certain ways and saying, hey, if this SSRI thing isn't going to work, then what will? Would you say that is part of the motivation of looking at psychedelics or
yeah, no? Yeah, I would say that there's an aspect of that. You know, there are some people that respond to the antidepressant medications, the SSRIs and the SNRIs, but there's a large subset of people that don't respond at all, or people who respond poorly, or even find the side effects to be intolerable, as well as people who just aren't willing to take a lifetime of, you know, pharmaceuticals to deal with their mental health conditions. So there are various factors at play here. Another one is that these treatments don't address the thing under the thing that leads to the suffering and these different clinical presentations of mental illness. And the thing under the thing is typically trauma and unresolved emotions that are being stored in the body. We know that trauma is stored in the body at the cellular level until it can be processed and released. And that is some of the hope with psychedelic assisted therapies, is that it allows us to get to the root cause, right, of these symptoms so that it can be reprocessed and healed, and people can go on to live their life without needing a lifetime of pharmaceutical interventions.
Right. And in my private practice, I like to say that you can't talk your way into a new nervous system.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's why my mental health practice is based in body work, you know, and sensory integration. It's that same, you know, belief. And so my next question is, you know, there's a lot of, because it's in the media, it's in the news, you know, people I've realized have all different kind of misconceptions about what's going on. People say, oh, yeah, mushrooms are legal. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like, they were decriminalized in Denver, I think, you know, and I'm even not up to date on everything. So from your perspective, I would love for you to let the listeners and I know what exactly is legal in terms of psychedelic assisted therapy in America at this point.
Yeah. So currently, there is only one psychedelic-assisted therapy that is legal, and that is ketamine. While certain cities and some states have decriminalized these substances, decriminalization is not the same as legalization. And so the only FDA-approved
psychedelic-assisted therapy, right?
Psychedelic-assisted therapy is ketamine. Ketamine is used for various mental health conditions, ranging from mood disorders, depression, anxiety, PTSD, obsessive compulsive disorder, eating disorders, and certain addictions. So it's used to treat a variety of symptoms and conditions, but it is the only substance available right now to do legally until the FDA reclassifies some of the other substances, which we are hoping is coming in the near future. We're actually anticipating in 2023 that MDMA will be reclassified from a Schedule 1 substance, which means there is no medical use and high abuse potential, to where it can be used to work with patients with PTSD. We're also anticipating that psilocybin mushrooms, or also known as magic mushrooms, will be reclassified from Schedule 1 within the next 2 years. So there is hope that on this horizon, more substances will become available to treat these conditions that lead to such intense mental and emotional suffering. But right now, there is only one.
Correct. So if people want to access mushrooms or MDMA or ayahuasca or DMT, you know, any of these other psychedelics mm-hmm. that are being covered in the news and media, if they're in America, if they're accessing that stuff, it's illegal.
It is illegal.
It's with underground practitioners that are not regulated. And that's what you're talking about, is in order to have regulated systems, mm-hmm. you know, that have research and are evidence-based within the American healthcare system, it has to get rescheduled, you know,
Correct.
On that federal level first
yes.
to get there. Now, what about moving into Colorado? You know, because since Colorado has had legal marijuana for
yes.
years now,
yeah.
despite yeah. the federal, you know, illegality, Colorado's sort of a trendsetter in lots of different ways.
Absolutely.
And so Proposition 122 is coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about it other than it's decriminalizing, I think, DMT,
yeah.
mushrooms. So can you speak to me and our listeners a bit about what Proposition 122.
Sure. So this is a ballot initiative that we will be voting on in November. Passage of this bill would decriminalize plant medicines and fungi, psilocybin mushrooms, for personal use. And that includes growth, transport, and exchange, but monetary exchange will not be allowed. And so the difference between legalization and decriminalization is that when a substance is decriminalized, that will make it the lowest law enforcement priority. And further that no tax dollars can be used prosecuting these offenses. So it does provide a layer of protection for individuals that want to use these substances for their own healing. The freedom would not be on the line for using these substances. What it doesn't do is provide for dispensaries to open up and sell these substances. This is for personal use and only for adults over the age of 21. Another aspect of Proposition 122 is that it would create a regulated state program where licensed healing centers could operate, where psychedelic-assisted therapy would be provided by trained and licensed facilitators. So that is something that is potentially exciting and potentially could have some drawbacks, but it would create this framework where there would be regulation in terms of who is delivering these therapies and where.
Right, and that's what I was kind of confused about was when I think of decriminalization versus legalization. When I think of legalization, I think of creating these frameworks. You know, are these structures for people to access the medicine through. And the fact that this decriminalization proposition also includes potentially these centers, you know, that's what kind of made me pause and say, hold on, how is this not legalizing it if we can have the centers? You know, so I know that there's different opinions on if this proposition mm-hmm. should pass or not.
There are.
I'm still figuring out what I think about it. I'm going to read my little ballot, that blue ballot book that we got in the mail. You know, I'm going to read that again and talking to you. But for me, I love the idea of decriminalizing because, you know, if people want to self-treat, I think that it increases access. And there are a lot of resources out there now on how to grow your own mushrooms. You know, the internet is just like ripe with guidance on how to do this, but then it comes down to, you know, like, you know, set and setting and a facilitator, you know, so I do find that it's exciting that we could be self-treating without worry of repercussion, but at the same token, without the structure or the guidance or the proper, you know, facilitation.
Right,
the right support, bringing in, you know, ancestral wisdom, cultural wisdom, bringing in indigenous people to actually, you know, so mm-hmm. I can see where this issue isn't really cut and dry, you know, as a yes or no,
right.
You know, what the path forward looks like. But I'm definitely more in support of giving individuals freedom over making this a super legal, like turning mushrooms into SSRIs. You know, like that's my fear is
the commercialization by for-profit companies.
Yes, that's my major fear with like how do we move forward is I would like to avoid as much as my control over reality. Like I would love to avoid the commercialization of it and see more indigenous wisdom and culture. Because that's the thing is we have to point out is America – our lovely Western society, capitalist society, Western medicine, you know, we want to control this. We want randomized mm-hmm. control trials. We want evidence-based mm-hmm. practice. We want, you know, we're applying our logic to ancient medicine.
Right.
Now, the ketamine's not ancient. You know, that's a synthesized drug, you know, that we're using in this way. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to bringing in ayahuasca, and bringing in mushrooms and bringing in plant medicine or even ibogaine or peyote, you know, this is not new.
No.
Cultures have been working with these medicines for millennia. And there's a lot of indigenous wisdom and training that go along with that. And from what I know, true shaman are only born in indigenous cultures where that is part of the practice. and they go through the full initiation, which often takes decades to truly be able to hold space safely. Mm-hmm. Because the difference between what I've learned from indigenous ceremony and Western application of psychedelics is this like loss of the fact that we're dealing with spiritual realities and we're dealing with
absolutely
energy and spirit and maybe good and negative, and there, you know, and there's like risk involved mm-hmm. in this like spiritual way to approach it, versus in this Western model, you know, the spiritual piece is not really part of the conversation. But you have all the training. Tell me if I'm wrong. Like, how are we addressing this spiritual component with bringing psychedelics into the Western model?
Sure. Well, in one thing that I wanted to talk about in the indigenous communities, these substances are always used in ceremony. They're never used recreationally, which is something that we see in this country is the recreational use and even polysubstance use, where it might be mixed with alcohol or taken at a concert.
It's like irreverent, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe irreverent use of the medicine.
Yeah. Would these indigenous communities that have had this respect for these substances that have given them healing and spiritual connection, would they feel honored and supported in the way that we are adopting these substances to be used here? And I think it's important to have that respect and that reverence for these communities that have struggled to survive and carry their wisdom forward for centuries, if not thousands of years, and really ask, like, how are we doing this? Are we doing this respectfully? Why are we doing it this way? Is there a better way? And how can we hold the sacred wisdom with what we have in this country? How do we bring the healing potential here respectfully without making it something that we monetize and commercialize? How do we find that balance? And I think that there is a way, but I think that we want to proceed with caution and really make sure that we're being respectful.
Right. And that's the crux of the issue. And that's as far as, speaking of monetization, it's already going on that, you know, because psychedelics have become popular buzzword, people are interested. You know, there are faux shaman and ayahuasca ceremonies and everything popping up all over the country. And people, I would just say buyer beware. Like, if you're not going to do ketamine assisted therapy in a clinic, you know, that's already regulated, and you're going to dive into this
underground world.
Yeah, this underground world, you really need to proceed with caution because of the fact that a lot of people are capitalizing on a situation, not in a righteous way. Are there any words of caution or specific anecdotal stories that you've heard of? I know you recently attended the Aspen Strong Mental Health Conference.
Yeah.
I don't know what came up there, if there's any pearls of wisdom that you would want to share that you gained from there.
Well, I mean, for starters, I think it's important that people understand that even though there is all this incredible momentum right now, all this research that's being done, and we're seeing this, you know, these promising results, that we need to step back and also recognize that these are not benign substances. These are not substances that should be used by everyone. There are contraindications in certain people for their use. You know, some of those contraindications would include a personal or immediate family history of psychosis or schizophrenia. It could also include bipolar with a current manic episode or certain personality disorders. As well as some medical conditions like heart disease. And so we really want to proceed with caution and make sure that if you're using these substances, is it safe for you? While they are generally considered physiologically safe, it needs to be considered on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, we have sovereignty, but we need to make sure that we're protecting ourselves in addition to using these substances respectfully. Some of the conversations that I had last weekend at the Aspen Strong event were with psychotherapists who were telling me that they've seen clients in their practices who have actually had psychotic breaks after doing solo journeys with psilocybin and other substances where they didn't give appropriate attention to set and setting, and then didn't have the preparation for what was going to emerge from the depths of their own mind, and then they didn't know how to integrate it, and ended up needing to be hospitalized after these experiences. So I really say, proceed with caution. Do your research. While there is tremendous healing potential, the potential doesn't exist if these substances aren't used wisely and thoughtfully and respectfully.
I couldn't agree more, especially as like a neurotherapist since 2008. I always remind people, like, we can rewire our brain without the psychedelics. Like, it is possible if we're really dedicated to mindfulness practice, we're dedicated to improving our self-care and our daily habits. You know, the best medicine is consistency and repetition. Mm-hmm. And how I see the psychedelics fitting in is they can create this neuroplastic state where we can get bigger transitions more quickly. So it's like a tool in this huge toolkit that each of us, you know, need a different set of tools to deal with our own self. Mm-hmm. The psychedelics, to me, with the proper preparation, with the proper set and setting, with the, you know, all of that piece, to me, they expedite healing. They have the potential to expedite because of the neuroplasticity it creates. But that's where the big thing that I see that's not talked about a lot is the, to me, cognitive dissonance that can come if you're not properly prepared or you don't properly integrate and you get shown all these like truths of the universe and then you go back to living in the real world and those truths don't reintegrate. I think that can create a lot of suffering and confusion for people. You know, and that's where the proper preparation and integration comes in, is so we don't get those big jolts where we can't function, you know, after an experience like this.
Right. The gold in the psychedelic experience is really mind in the integrative phase, because otherwise you've just had, you know, anything from a transcendent, beautiful unity experience to a horrifically challenging experience that you don't know what to do with. But the benefit that of psychedelics, the lasting change and the healing comes in the integration of what was learned, the awarenesses and insights that were had. Integrating them into your day-to-day life is where the beauty and the gold is at.
I couldn't agree more. So you heard it here first on the Current Ritual Show. We covered a lot today. We covered what's actually legal, which is just ketamine at this point, you know, within the medical system. We know that research is on the horizon, and then maybe next year or two, we have to get the federal government to declassify them before we can integrate them into the structure.
Into our system.
And then all of the listeners in Colorado should really inform yourself about that proposition 122 that's on the ballot, because coming up next month, we're all going to be challenged to say yes or no. And we do need new mental health and greater mental health support. We need different interventions. And I think all of us need to remember that even though they're magic mushrooms, these psychedelics aren't the magic bullet. It's probably really our behavior.
Yes.
And how we treat each other and how we rise up as communities and
support
choose,
one another, yeah, and love one another.
Yes, yes. But the psychedelics are definitely a tool that can lead us into this new world as a human family. So, well, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with me and the KDNK community. And any last parting thoughts?
Be safe.
Yes, wonderful. Yes.
Use these substances intentionally.
Yes, proceed with caution and check in with your gut. It's a good practice. Ultimately, your internal wisdom can guide you. You just got to get your nervous system in the right place so you can hear it. So until next time, this has been SS Kitty with the Kurt Ritchell Public Affairs Show. And I wish you the best day. Love each other. Take care of yourself. And until next time.